More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, burning down the house. Unhealthy arguments heating things up will help you put out the fire and find greater peace in all your relationships. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, burning down the house. We're talking about arguments, particularly those arguments that feel maybe a little unhealthy. Those ones where you just feel like things are getting carried away, like you can't talk about certain topics without them just going off the rails. Where you're feeling maybe a little overwhelmed or tempted to lash out yourself or shut down. We want to help you find greater peace in all your relationships by helping you manage conflict gracefully. 877-573-7825.
Well, basically, you're talking about arguments as opposed to discussions, perhaps. Because I think when most of us are programmed to hear the word argument and we get nervous, we get a little feeling of foreboding or dread that says, not again, don't want to do this, don't feel comfortable with this, doesn't work out well. And so most of us, unless we're really heightened emotion junkies, we want to avoid these arguments. We want to avoid these situations. But sometimes we don't see eye to eye with people about something, whether it's something personal or something in the greater world. And we have to work things out in order to have relationships. So how do you do it without burning down the relationship, without causing wounds to the relationship or your own emotional health? Well, we're going to be helping you with that today on More to Life. Call in with your questions about those arguments at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Call up and share. Is there someone in your life who seems to blow up over everything, who is disrespectful or unkind to you when they're upset? Maybe there are certain frustrations or concerns you have that are difficult to discuss with somebody close to you, and you're not sure how to bring those issues up without causing tension. When you're in a disagreement with that person, does it quickly escalate and make you feel overwhelmed or shut down or stuck? We want to help you navigate those hot topics and those difficult conversations so that you can handle them without burning down the house. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. I was actually having a conversation with a number of people on the Catholic Home app yesterday where we were talking about healthy conflict versus drama.
Yeah, it was very enlightening to a lot of them. They really felt very freed by the conversation. So,
and this is something I'd like to unpack today and also in subsequent shows, because I think it's a helpful distinction that healthy conflict actually enables two people to move from a place where they're apart to a place where they're closer together. And the conflict is just about removing the obstacles that stand between them and the closeness that they're looking for. Whereas drama is all about creating chaos because I don't want to accept responsibility for solving the problem. Right. So a lot of what passes for conflict is really drama. It's me making noise and creating chaos because I want you to fix the problem. I don't want to have to deal with it. So I'm going to blame you. I'm going to attack you. I'm going to, say it's not my problem. It's your, and just kind of lash out at you, or shut down. You know, where healthy conflict basically looks like, what do we need to do together, you know, to remove the obstacles that are standing between us and the closer and healthier relationship? You know, what are you trying to accomplish? How can I help you figure out how to do that in a way that works for me too? And there's going to be tension in that, because it's hard to figure out how everybody can get their needs met. And that's going to feel a little bit like conflict, but that's a different feeling than drama, which is really all about somebody creating chaos because they don't want to deal with the thing. And they want you to fix it for them.
And often they like to draw you into their chaos so they can say, see, you are the crazy one. See, you are the problem, because now you're yelling and screaming and getting defensive or blaming too. And it can spin out of control and make us feel like we're never going to be able to be closer together or solve those problems.
Yeah, so when people say that they are afraid of conflict, they don't really mean that they're afraid of conflict.
They're rightly afraid of drama.
Yeah. Exactly. They don't want to be pulled into somebody else's chaos. And that is a perfectly normal and healthy reaction. We want to help you get out of that place where you're having to deal with drama and chaos and move to a place where you are handling those differences in ways that enable you to draw closer together. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, you know, how could theology possibly help me handle arguments better? Well, it turns out it can do a lot, especially this kind of theology, because when St. John Paul was Pope, he asked a huge question. Basically, he said, you know, if we take everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for leading a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships? And his answer to that question became what people now refer to as the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that God designed our bodies to communicate his love to others. Our bodies actually give us signals about when we're loving well and when we might not be. Think about what happens when an argument starts heating up. Maybe your jaw clenches, your stomach knots, your heart races, your shoulders go up around your ears. Most of us treat those signals as background noise and just keep pushing through the conversation. But those physical cues are actually your body's way of telling you, hey, you don't feel loved, and you might be struggling to love the other person in front of you.
Yeah, that physical feeling is called flooding. And once our heart rate crosses a certain threshold, the part of our brain that's responsible for problem solving and empathy basically goes offline. We're no longer having a conversation at that point, we're just surviving one. And that's why so many arguments feel like they go in circles. It's not that you and the other person are bad at communicating. It's that you're trying to communicate with a brain that's been hijacked by adrenaline. You wouldn't try to do a jigsaw puzzle while, sprinting, right? Well, your body isn't built for that, and it's not built to solve relational problems while it's in fight-or-flight mode either.
So, the first step toward putting out the fire is learning to check your emotional temperature before and during a difficult conversation. Think of a scale from 1 to 10. If you're above a 6, you're already too hot to be productive. That's the moment to pause. Take that deep breath and remind yourself that you can get through this if you keep reminding the other person that you want to work together to solve the problem instead of treating each other as the problem.
You know, when somebody acts in a way that's offensive or hurtful to us, our instinct is to assume the worst about them. But the fact is, almost always, there's a positive intention hiding behind the offensive behavior. That's not to make excuses for the bad things they're doing or saying, but it's to give you a way forward. And if you don't know why they're upset, just say, look, I see how frustrated you are, and I'm really sorry. But help me understand what you want to have happen by the end of this conversation, because I want to work with you to get there if you can tell me what you need. You know, if you're going to take that approach and get yourself to a place where you can work with the other person instead of against them, the quicker you can turn most unhealthy arguments into productive discussions that are rooted in mutual respect and love. Let us help you do that in all of your relationships today on More to Life. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. The show is titled Burning Down the House, as we talk about those arguments that heat things up in all of your relationships and those times when it just feels like I don't know what to do or say to either move it forward or stop things from blowing up or how to move out of the drama and actually into some problem solving. Give us a call. Again, 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you today and we bring you those difficult topics that we have to discuss with people, the difficult people that we have to discuss them with, the times when the conversations just escalate and really threaten to burn everything down. Lord, help us to know how to raise issues in ways that make it possible to solve problems. Give us the grace and the compassion and the peace of heart that we need to respond to offensive words and actions in ways that help us redirect the energy of those conversations so that we can prevent our brains from getting hijacked by the tension and instead encourage each other through that tension and toward solutions so that even when conflict heats things up, we can cooperate with your grace and build your kingdom by working to heal the damage that sin tries to do to all of our relationships. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name,
of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, burning down the house as we talk about how arguments can heat things up and how to respond to those angry words and actions in ways that help you and the other person find solutions instead of continuing to tear each other up. 877-573-7825.
You know, maybe what you heard, or maybe you heard me saying, you know, you can feel it in your body. You get those signals of your stomach tightening and your shoulders going up and maybe your heart starting to race. And you're thinking, well, fine, Popchex, I can try to keep a hold of that. But you don't know my spouse, my child, my sister, whoever the person is that you find yourself just kind of going, I hope this doesn't happen again. I don't want to deal with this person's drama. I always get sucked into this. What do I do about them? Because they're not going to watch their emotional temperature. So how do I handle this situation? If you kind of dread having conversations with a particular person or a particular group of people, like one side of the family, we're here to help you with that drama today and bring it back to a place of peace and problem solving. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. We have a question here from Amber, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio. She says, my husband and I have been married only 2 years, but we already have this pattern where one of us brings up a small frustration, like the dishes or who forgot to pay a bill. And within 10 minutes, we're both raising our voices and saying things we don't really mean. Last Thursday, he said something about wishing he'd known I was like this before we got married, and I completely shut down. I didn't talk to him for the rest of the night. The next morning, we both acted like nothing happened, but I can feel the distance between us growing. I love him, and I know he loves me. We just can't seem to disagree without turning it into something ugly. What are we doing wrong? And that's Amber in Texas.
Amber, thanks for the question. And, you know, learning how to manage conflict is one of the early challenges of any relationship. I actually talk about this in Just Married, where I go through the first 5 years of marriage and look at some of the skills that couples need to learn at the, in those early stages. And so if you want to follow up to the comments we're going to make here on the call, I'd really encourage you to check out Just Married, which is all about, again, getting through the first 5 years of marriage. So where I think things are going wrong might be in two ways. First, I think the way you bring up the problem is really important. And then second, the focus of your conversation is important. So what do I mean by that? So you gave an example here of like the dishes or who forgot to pay a bill. And then you say within 10 minutes you're both raising your voices and saying things that you don't mean. The implication here, I'm reading between the lines a little bit, but the implication is that when you guys bring up something, you're blaming somebody. It's, hey, you forgot to do the dishes, or hey, you forgot to pay the bill, or whatever it is. And you're leading with that accusation. And the other person feels put on the spot or blamed or misunderstood, and so they immediately defend themselves, which then makes you feel like they don't really want to take your problem seriously, so then you have to escalate to get them to hear what you're saying, which then makes them feel more defensive, so then they go up, and you go from 0 to 100 in no time flat. The most important way to open is what's called a soft open. It's basically where you come in, you just describe the problem. Hey, it looks like the dishes aren't done yet. How do you want to handle that? Right? You're just describing the problem and saying, let's figure this out together. It's possible, by the way, that once you fall into that pattern, these defensive reactions can become automatic, right? Because it goes from criticism to defensiveness pretty quickly.
And it's probably going there so quickly because you've already started the argument in your head. You know, you have to watch your internal thoughts first. So you see that the dishes aren't done, and it was his turn. And you're already saying in your head, that idiot, he promised me, he didn't follow through, everything's on me. You're off to the races before you've done any conversation with him at all. So you have to pause yourself and say, all right, wait a minute, the dishes aren't done, I don't know why. I have to ask him what he wants to do about this instead of just going into attack and blame mode.
So that's the first thing, right? Instead of leading off with that hard open of blaming and accusing, make sure you just describe the problem. Hey, it looks like the dishes still need to be done. How do you want to handle that? Hey, it looks like we missed this bill. Use the royal plural, we. It's okay, because it's your bill too, right?
I mean, yeah.
It's okay to just say, hey, look, it looks like we missed this bill or the bills didn't get paid. How do you want to handle that? And then have a problem-solving discussion about how it gets done. It's okay, you know, if you have to say, I'm not able to do it because, you know, or at least right now, because of X, Y, or Z, I could do it tomorrow. Or do you think you could get to it? Or whatever. But you work it out together. It doesn't all have to fall to you, but you need to open the conversation by describing the problem and inviting problem solving, as opposed to whose fault is this. Then the second point, which I've sort of alluded to already, is that conflict or these kinds of discussions need to be about solving the problem, not finding out whose fault it was, and imposing consequences like yelling or not speaking to each other for the rest of the day. You know, what you're describing here, and this is an important insight for everybody out there, the way we were parented and disciplined as kids tends to be the model we follow for addressing conflict as adults. I'm going to say that again. The way we were disciplined as kids tends to be the pattern we follow for marital conflict, especially, but for managing conflict at all as adults.
So you're saying if in this case, you know, maybe Amber got yelled at, or maybe her spouse got yelled at for not getting a chore done, and they got blamed for it. And
who didn't do this? And then there's a consequence.
The big explosion.
As opposed to, okay, this needs to be done. I see that this didn't happen. Why? You know, and then problem solving it. And this is actually what we talk a lot about on Catholic Home in our discipleship discipline and our approach to compassionate problem resolution in marriage, CPR, because we want to model healthy conflict resolution in our parenting so that as adults our kids know how to not do what you guys are doing right here. So I want you to focus on that pattern that I just described to you. Soft opens followed by problem solving as opposed to blaming and punishing. Now, that's easy to say. If you find that you are stuck in that pattern, a couple of resources can help. I mentioned our book, Just Married, The Catholic Guide to Surviving and Thriving in the First 5 Years of Marriage. Great resource to help you begin to learn some of those conflict resolution skills. Our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, goes even deeper into managing conflict gracefully. If you'd like more personalized help, you can always reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with one of our faithful professional Catholic counselors to help you get where you need to be. But I'm glad that you're asking the question. really, Amber, you're right where you need to be, because couples in the first 5 years of marriage, one of those major challenges is learning healthy patterns to managing conflict that will then guide you for the rest of your relationship. So it's important to lay a good foundation for conflict management now. So get those skills, follow up with those resources, contact us at CatholicCounselors.com if you need more personalized help, but we can absolutely get you through this. Thanks so much for the question. If there's more you can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out. All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about conflict and arguments on More to Life, our show titled Burning Down the House, 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls after this.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
That They May Be One, a docudrama featuring Cardinal Ranieri Cantalamessa, Dr. Mary Healy, and Francis Chen, exploring how the Holy Spirit has been working across generations and denominations to answer the prayer of Jesus.
Church is meant to look like the Church of the Acts of the Apostles. And if you read Acts, you see just how far we are.
In theaters May 19th and 20th. More information at thatthaymaybeonefilm.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Announcing again our popular St. Paul Mediterranean cruise and pilgrimage, visiting over 10 biblical sites. You'll never read the New Testament the same again after exploring Athens, Ephesus, Corinth, Thessalonica, Philippi, Crete, and the Greek Isles, and much more. Mass at Mary's House. Our luxurious celebrity cruise liner awaits you.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Thank you for joining us on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Burning Down the House, as we talk about dealing with conflict and turning those unhealthy exchanges and arguments into something that's productive and healthy. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jeff, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Jeff, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hi, I'm just trying to navigate how you would handle a teenage kid, a daughter, 18 years old, who kind of acts like she doesn't want you to be in a room or talk to her when she's doing homework, but then tells friends or family that her parents don't care and never talk to her, ask her about things.
So what happens when you, I mean, because I feel like there are a couple of different issues here, right? So there's the question about how she reacts whenever you do try to talk to her, but then there's also the question of, like, you guys doing things together. And they're not necessarily dependent on each other, right? So, like, what happens when you try to talk to her, number one, and do you guys do anything together as a family?
It's hard to get her to want to interact with kids all the way down to our youngest, age 5. Doesn't want to watch a Disney movie, doesn't want to play the board game that the 5-year-old can play, too busy with homework. So he just says, no, I don't want to, and leave. Or if we try to talk about the day, oh, it was fine, and then finds an excuse.
So what she's saying is that if for whatever reason she doesn't feel like it's either safe to open up to you or that you're really interested in her. And I'm not saying that's fair. All right, I'm not saying that you're I believe you're not trying to do that on purpose, but that's what she's saying. It's not that she doesn't want to be with you. It's that she's playing hard to get. She's saying, do you really want to invest the energy to be with me? You know, you're willing to have me around as long as I'm willing to accommodate to you or to the younger kids. But what are you willing to do to really get to know me and where I am and what you need from me?
And I'm interested, Jeff, do you ever just go out just with her? Do you get a chance to go on a date with her, to go get a piece of pie, or to, you know, just go out for a walk? Because that is not part of what you said. And so if it's just, hey, we're doing something as a family, she might be saying, like Greg said, try to pay some attention to me, and then maybe I'll come around to being part of the family.
I mean, it's not okay for her to shut you all out like that. I'm not saying that you know, you should just dance around her, you know, whatever.
Cater to all of her moods, yeah.
But, you know, if you're trying to make sense out of the behavior where she's saying to you, acting like she doesn't want to connect with you, but then saying to her friends that you guys don't connect with her and don't care about her, what that means is that you're not... She doesn't see you as trying to connect with her in a way that's meaningful to her. And I think the first step is going to her and saying, you know, I've been thinking a lot about our relationship, and I really feel like you don't think that we care about you. That we care about you if you're willing to, you know, be around us and help with the kids or do things with the little kids or, you know, be part of the group. But I think you've gotten the impression somehow that we're not interested in you. And I'd really like to address that. Let's make a date where you and I can go out, you know, once a week to...
And
know,
make
whatever.
Her get out her calendar right there, and you guys may... And if she hems and haws, no, I can't, I don't have time, we're doing this. If we have to go out to, like, an all-night diner at midnight to fit this in, we're doing it. So get out your calendar, because I love you and I want to spend time with you.
Yeah, make this happen like you'd make anything else happen. And initially you might say, well, gosh, well, if she's pushing back, if she's resentful the whole time, what's the point in doing it? Do it anyway, because that's her... being defensive because she wants to know that you're really serious about it. You know, that's how a kid acts when their heart's been broken. Again, we don't try as parents to break our kids' hearts, but sometimes we get distracted, we get busy, you have a larger family, and it can be hard to know what to do. So she's going to put up those defenses and see if mom and dad are really willing to overcome that. Follow through with that and see what you can get. Call us back if you need more support.
How do we define sin? The Catholic Catechism defines it in detail, calling sin an offense against reason, truth, and right conscience, a failure in genuine love for God and neighbor, caused by a perverse attachment to certain goods. St. Augustine defines sin as an utterance, a deed, or a desire contrary to the eternal law. It is an offense against God. King David lamented, "Against you, and you alone, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." We sin when we love ourselves even to contempt of God. The Catechism points out that sin in all its ugly forms is exercised against Christ during the Passion. Ironically, at this darkest hour, the light of Christ's sacrifice becomes the inexhaustible source for the forgiveness of sin. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. When feeling attacked, judged, or misunderstood, our natural tendency is to react, to lash out and defend ourselves. We assume that the other person intends to be offensive, but even when it seems like someone is being purposefully antagonistic, we don't really know their true intentions. That's why charity and good psychology remind us that instead of reacting harshly, we can choose to be humble and give the other person the benefit of the doubt. That doesn't mean letting people walk all over us. It means that the best way to challenge an antagonistic person's bad behavior is to ask questions that clarify what they're trying to accomplish so that we can help them find kinder, more loving ways to get their point across and meet their needs. Clarifying questions don't accuse or challenge the other person. They hold up a mirror that forces the antagonistic person to ask themselves, is the way I'm acting really helping me get my needs met? To learn more graceful ways to deal with conflict, visit CatholicCounselors.com or check out our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, burning down the house. We're talking about those arguments that heat things up. We want to help you put out the fire and find greater peace in all of your relationships. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Is there somebody in your life who's kind of hard to talk to, who kind of blows up over everything? Maybe they're disrespectful or unkind when they're upset. Maybe there are certain frustrations or problems that you have a difficult time discussing with that person, and you're not sure how to bring those issues up without creating drama. When you're in a disagreement with that person, does it quickly escalate or make you feel overwhelmed, shut down, stuck? Whatever the challenges are, we want to help you navigate those hot topics and the conflicts that result gracefully. 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next question, excuse me, we have to let you know that an EWTN radio affiliate is celebrating an incredible anniversary with us this week. We want to send out congratulations to Covenant Catholic Radio, Tony and Teresa Holman and their team, for 29 years on the air.
Great people, too. And we want to congratulate Covenant Radio with an incredible 42 stations serving the states of Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, and Louisiana. Congratulations, guys, for 29 years serving the kingdom with your great work.
42 stations. Teresa, Tony, congratulations, all the team. That's a beautiful, beautiful gift to God and to the world.
And folks, wherever you are tuning into your local EWTN Catholic radio station, make sure you are supporting that station with your prayers and with your dollars. Amen. Let's keep EWTN radio going strong for decades to come, so we can keep supporting you and your loved ones in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. With that, what's our next question, Lisa?
Well, we had a question that came in from Paxton, who's in the United Kingdom. He couldn't stay on over the break. But he said his fiance and he are having a lot of arguments, blaming each other for many things. Lots of financial struggles right now. And he wants to know how to better not get at each other's throats for everything.
All right, Paxton, thanks so much for the question. So the things that I said to our previous caller are going to be helpful for you guys here as well. When we were talking with Amber and the comments we were making to her about how the soft open, about problem solving. So I want you to go back and listen to that, actually. In fact, download the podcast and listen to it with your fiancé. And also the book, Just Married, A Catholic Guide to Thriving and Surviving in the First 5 Years of Marriage.
And we also discuss it a bit in For Better Forever. So that one's a great one to have since you are engaged. That will really help you get a lot of information that will help you have a great marriage.
Specifically with finances, though, money conversations are never really about money. They're about getting my needs met, about being
here.
Being afraid, that I won't get those needs met, or that you don't care about my needs. And of course, there's never enough of it, right? And so it's easier to blame somebody for that than it is to recognize this is a problem that we need to solve together. And again, the way we were raised and the way we were disciplined tends to be the pattern that we follow, especially in marital conflict. And I'm guessing, like a lot of people, when you were a kid, you just knew that your parents said no to things whenever they couldn't afford them. It wasn't a question of, okay, look, here's the money situation. I mean, it's perfectly reasonable for parents to say no, but we get the impression then
it's the way they say
that it's not that there isn't enough money; it's that mom and dad are saying no.
Right.
And so now it's not that there isn't enough money; it's that your fiancé is saying no, and you see your mom and dad's head on your fiancé's body, and then you attack each other to try to convince the quote unquote parent to give you the money that's not there.
And right now, because you're going through this and you're engaged, it's not just the money in the moment or the situation in the moment. It's sort of running as a stream underneath everything. Can we have a future together? Will we be able to afford the wedding we want? Will we be able to afford the place that we want to live? Will we be able... there's all this future stuff in the balance that's adding fuel to that fire that's keeping the two of you from being able to problem solve logically and kindly with each other in the present.
So the first step here is really realizing that, you know, the fact that there isn't enough money for all the things you want all at the same time is not your fault or her fault. And it's not something that you can, you know, free up more cash by yelling at the other person. And again,
true.
I know that sounds crazy, but we all do it, right? What it is, what you want to be doing is following the format of empathize and then redirect toward solutions. I see how important X is to you. I want to figure out a way for us to get that. Let's talk about how we can do that in a way that also allows us to get these things that are important to me. Let's figure out so it's not arguing about whether she gets what she wants or you get what you want. It's let's make a plan where we can be flexible about the how and the when so that both of us can get the what that's important to us. Did you hear that? It's you affirm the what, but you're flexible about the how and the when. You say, look, I get what you want, and I think that's a good thing. And, you know, what I want is a good thing, too. Let's talk about the how and the when we can use for each of us to get what we want. And that becomes your problem-solving, solution-focused conversation. It's not, do you get this now, or do I get this now, or do you get this ever, or do I get this ever? It's what do we need to do to save for these things? What do we need to do to budget for these things? How do we work together to make these things happen?
And it doesn't have to only be the big things, right? You know, your future home, or your wedding, or it can be... we want enough money to be able to go to a pub on Saturday night and hang out with our friends, but we also need enough money to pay the electric bill. So how are we going to do this in a way that works for us? And you know what? A lot of people are in your situation, too. So remember to be open to, well, maybe we don't go out to a particular place. Maybe we have everybody over and everybody, you know, shares. And we can handle it that way. Like, keep your mind open to other ways to solve certain needs and wants besides just it's this or it's that,
yeah.
And one of us is going to lose.
Well, and actually that's a great point, Lisa, because if you find yourselves getting into those sort of polarized conversations, mm-hmm. Well, do we do this or do we do that, chances are you're not leading with the problem, you're leading with your solutions. In other words, you're saying, I want to do this, but you're not really clarifying why do you want to do that or to what end do you want to do it. And then you end up arguing about, well, we can't do that, and then you feel like the other person's not validating your need, when really they haven't even communicated the need, right? It's, you know, they've said, well, I want to go to thus and such place. And then you say, oh, we can't do that because we have this other thing going on. And what they hear is, well, I'm not going to get my need met. When they don't really care about going to the place, what they want is a break. Or what they want is to get together with friends. Or what they want is whatever. And you haven't stepped back to figure out what the intention behind that proposed solution was. And then you just start arguing about the solution. That you can tell that's happening usually whenever you get into a polarized discussion where you feel like you have to choose between this or that. And if that's the case, the best way through that is to step back and say, well, wait a minute, what are we hoping to accomplish by doing this or that? And if you can identify those goals, then you can start to problem solve for other ways to get the goals met. That's another example of how you negotiate the how and the when while still respecting the what. Right? And again, we talk about all this in Just Married. We talk about it in For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage. We talk about it in How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. All those resources could be good for you to really learn some better problem-solving strategies while you're still engaged. If you want more personalized attention, we have plenty of clients internationally. If you'd like to learn more about CatholicCounselors.com and how we can help you guys through that, don't hesitate to reach out. But the good news is, Paxton, you're catching this early enough to be able to learn some new habits for managing conflict in your relationship that can then set the stage for, you know, decades to come. This is the time to learn the skills that you're asking about.
And I want to emphasize that, because a lot of listeners would be saying, well, they're not married, they're just engaged. And if they're not compatible when they argue, maybe that means that's just the end of it all. They should just walk away now. They're not right for each other. No, we all need skills. None of us would go on a job without having some kind of training beforehand. You know, if no matter what the job is, if you don't have some skills, you're not going to be successful at the job. But we walk into adult life relationally, especially when it comes to choosing a partner and being a partner in life, with just whatever we learned from our parents by watching them. No, just because you're having a difficult time when you're engaged, that says, okay, we need new skills around whatever this is, communication, arguing, budgeting, whatever the thing is. It doesn't necessarily mean, nope, this isn't right. Because no matter who you find, even if you find you're absolutely sure this is the person that God created for you, you're still going to need new skills together. So don't do that all or nothing thinking when it comes to a relationship just because you argue sometimes.
All right. Thank you so much for the question, Paxton. If there's more we can do to support you, again, check out those books I mentioned, Just Married, The Catholic Guide to Surviving and Thriving in the First 5 Years of Marriage, and For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage. And you can also learn more about our pastoral counseling practice at CatholicCounselors.com. We have lots of international clients, and we'd be happy to help you guys too. And we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. The show is titled Burning Down the House, as we talk about dealing with arguments and managing conflict gracefully. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from Proverbs chapter 15, verse 11.
A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger.
Okay, I want to talk about this because very often when somebody speaks disrespectfully to you, you feel like the most important thing is to say, don't talk to me like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do need to set limits on it. But we don't have to start there. Sometimes we do need to say, hey, look, I can't talk to you like that. Or I can't talk to you if you're going to speak to me like this. Can you try that again? That's fine later on. The first thing you want to try to do, though, and this is part of the bear wrongs patiently spiritual work of mercy, is to say to them, hey, look, I understand. I see how upset you are, but I'm not your enemy. I'm on your side. Help me understand what it is that you want, and let's figure this out together. I mean, you're still setting limits on it. You're not accepting the disrespect. You're just doing it in a graceful way, right? I mean, if you can change the behavior, you don't have to set that hard line where you've got your back up and you're being defensive. Now, if you try that gentler approach and say, look, I really see how upset you are. Help me understand what it is that you want. And I promise you, I want to work with you to help you get it. And if that doesn't work, well, then you can say, look, I've tried to be helpful here. I'm trying to let you know I'm not your enemy. I'm on your side. You're still attacking me. I really need you to stop doing that, or we're going to have to end the conversation. Again, you've established that you want to partner with them. You've established that you are not the enemy. And now you're having to set that harder boundary. Fine. But don't lead with that. Lead with the soft answer that the author of Proverbs says turns away wrath. But lead with that soft answer that says, hey, look, I get how upset you are. Help me understand what it is that you want, because really, I'm on your side, and I want to help you figure this out as long as we can work together on it and not treat each other as the problem. Words to live by, Proverbs 15:1. We're taking your calls at 877-573-7825 about handling conflict, argument, tense discussions. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. More to life will be back with more of your questions right after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the Church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, burning down the house as we talk about those unhealthy arguments that are heating things up. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Teresa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska on Spirit Catholic Radio.
Hey, Teresa. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Thank you. Good morning. I hope you can hear me well. I notice there's a little bit of a TV.
Sound great. What's up?
Yeah, sound wonderful.
My nephew, who is 40, is a control... It needs to be in control. And he is very loud. He does not know how to communicate well and does not understand boundaries. I've been listening to you a lot. I've read a book on boundaries. But once in a while, we get together for a, a big family thing. And it's great that he is really... You know, takes ownership and does a lot, but the thing is he wants to do everything, and he takes control of everything. Whatever I bring in, it's gone. He uses it. And last time we got together, we were all in an Airbnb, and I decided to choose one thing. I said, you know, I brought, it sounds petty, I brought all this hamburger, because we have a side of beef, and I wanted to give a bunch of them to a certain person. Well, but he just commandeered all the meals and made twice as much food and basically took ownership of everything, and so I decided to talk with him about this and said, you know, we don't need that much food, and I wanted to give this to another person, and he walked, and we were alone. He walked in the other room, blew up in front of everybody. And so I'm just using your room here. So next time we get together sometime, because the subject that you're dealing with is right on, I just need a little bit. I'll take whatever hints you can give me. The other thing is that I, there was a lot of verbal abuse when I was a kid, so I have not normal reaction. I get really wired when he does this.
Well, I'm glad you have that insight into that.
So is there something coming up, you know, when for this next visit? I mean, is there something similar that you're kind of going in with certain things that you want to make sure that happen that you're afraid that he would undo, or you're just looking in general for how to manage him?
Well, we might have a big, huge family thing in June, although it hasn't come together yet. You know, when we get together for a meal, I can just kind of be polite. But this is a whole weekend, 3 days, and if we do that coming up, you know, he plans it. I plan it, and then he takes credit for it. But he does a lot, which is great. But how should I? I'm wondering, you know, I could say, listen, you know, I've got this set up, but now I'm looking forward to what you're going to come up with and do with everything. But there's those little moments, too, when he just blows up for the littlest thing.
Okay. So I, a couple of things. One, make sure that you address whatever concerns you have ahead of time. So, for example, with the ground beef that you brought, the best thing to have done would have been to say up front, hey, look, I'm saving this part to give it to so-and-so. Please don't use this for the food. So you're addressing it ahead of time.
And honestly, you know, when you're doing a big group family get-together like this, thank God we now live in the day and age of social communication, right? So when you're coming up with a plan, you might be thinking, well, I'm going to bring this bunch of food, and we'll figure it out when we get there, and I'm only planning, you know, the Airbnb and the activities. And no, you need to start planning ahead of time, meals. Okay, guys, on this night we're having this, on this night we're having this. Who's bringing what? Who's cooking that night? So that there's less craziness of, okay, there's just a bunch of ingredients here. Somebody's got to cook us something because we're all hungry. And he takes over and uses what you think is too much. The other thing is, don't bring more than you are comfortable sharing with everybody else.
But again, communicate ahead of time.
Ahead of time.
If there are any specific things, games that you want to play, if there are gifts that you want to, you know, so whatever it is, that has to be handled up front, right? So that everybody knows what the expectations are. In that situation that you described, there was really no point in bringing it up afterward because the meat was already cooked,
yeah.
Right? And so I'm not saying that his reaction was right. I'm not saying that what he did was okay. I'm just saying there was no way to win with a person like that by bringing it up after the fact. So if you have any concerns that you want to address ahead of time, make sure that you address them long before you get there.
And
then reaffirm them once you get there.
And not necessarily just you saying, you know, an edict, like, we're going to do this, but getting everybody involved. What do we want to do on Tuesday? What meals does everybody want to have? Get people to throw in on a group discussion so that you can have it planned out so people aren't stepping on each other's toes as much. And then if something like that happens and somebody has, you know, done something that's overstepped but hasn't done it to be mean, has done it to, like, serve everybody, try to go into a more grateful place, Teresa, of, okay, I don't like how this worked out, but I can be grateful that I have a meal to eat.
If he's abusive, though, and, you know, like you were saying, he blew up and he was, you know, it's okay to address that directly. I understand you have some history that makes it hard for you to do this. But, you know, if he does blow up, it's okay to say, you know, I'm sorry that you're frustrated, but it's not okay to speak to me like that. Now, I just said over the break when we were doing our scripture that we don't want to lead with that necessarily. We can start, we often start by saying, hey, look, what is it that you're trying to accomplish, and you know, how can I help you get there? I'm not your enemy. But in the example that you gave, there's nothing that he wants. He's venting frustration, right? That he's being criticized after the fact, and the way he's venting that frustration isn't okay. So in that situation, it's okay to say to him, hey, look, I get that you're upset. I get that you're frustrated that I corrected you. Please do not speak to me like that. It's not okay. And it's okay to hold out, you know, because he'll blow up even more. And then he'll want to come back later on and pretend like nothing ever happened, right? And it's okay at that point to say, hey, look, I'm glad you seem like you're in a better place, but I could really use an apology for the way you treated me. And he's going to blow up again. And say, I can't believe you're bringing that back up, and how dare you, Teresa? And then it'll go away. And then it'll come back again, pretending like nothing ever happened. And he said, I'm glad you're in a better place. I really still need an apology for the way you reacted to me. You want to drive home the point that we're not just going to pretend and move on here. That I love you too much to let that happen. I need to hold you accountable for this. Because it's not just that he's being unkind to you. It's that he's, you know, his behavior is reflecting badly on him.
Yeah.
Right? And so being able to call that out and really insist on that apology is important. So anticipate what your needs might be. Make sure that those are communicated up front. If something happens and what's done is done, there's no point in criticizing or bringing it up after the fact. And then if he does blow up, don't hesitate to address the behavior right there the way I'm suggesting. If there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to call us back here once you've had a chance to reflect on some of these answers. Thanks for the call. And folks, if you are struggling in any of your relationships with conflict or arguments, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can connect you with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Again, that's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Get out there and have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.